Is God bless you. John chapter 1 this morning, John chapter number 1. We are plowing through this book together. We've just gotten started with it. This will be our second message of this book, second or third, John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. Just going to read one verse, pick up our title. We'll get right into it. John chapter 1 and verse number 6. John chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this morning I want to lift out that portion that says a man sent from God. A man sent from God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today, and we do pray that you will speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege of having another Sunday to come and worship you. And I pray that you will receive worship in our spirit. And Lord, may we truly be true worshipers of you. May you help us now as we look into this passage. Would you show us what you have written down for us? As you inspired through your Holy Spirit the Apostle John to pen these words about John the Baptist. And I pray that you'll help us now to do an accurate job. And Lord, I pray, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication come out of my mouth. Lord, only the communication that's used for the edifying of the saints. May thy will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to go with me today to the banks of the Jordan, the river which looms so large in the history of God's people. We see a mighty multitude gathered there, and they're crowded around a strange-looking man, a rough man from the country. This man is speaking, he's preaching in thunderous tones. He calls upon the people to repent. He points out their sins both as a nation and as individuals, and climaxes his message by crying out, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Suddenly many of them saw themselves as they looked in God's sight. They saw themselves as sinning against a holy God, and they crowded closer to the preacher, confessed their sins, and were baptized in the River Jordan. Who is this strange and mighty preacher who has such power that the cities are emptying themselves and flocking out to hear him? I'll tell you who it is. It's John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Where did he come from? Listen to his introduction here from the Bible and tell me if literature can boast of a more powerful presentation of a man. Here it is. Here's his introduction. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. In the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, you see that John was born to a man named Zacharias and a wife named Elizabeth. The Bible says in that chapter that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. The angel said that John would be great in the sight of the Lord. And as a matter of fact, Jesus even said concerning John the Baptist, who's the topic of our message today, in Luke chapter 7, verse 23, Jesus said this. He said, "Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." What an amazing statement that fell from the lips of the Son of God, considering all the Old Testament prophets, such as Elijah, and all these other Old Testament prophets, but Jesus himself said, there's no greater one than John the Baptist. John the Baptist is certainly a man in the Word of God that all of God's children should strive to emulate, strive to go after him and be a man like he is. I tell you, the more I study him, the more he becomes one of my heroes in God's precious Word. What a mighty man of God this John the Baptist truly was. And among the many things that we could say about this man of God, the Lord has spoken to my heart in such a real way this week. I've been studying his life, God's been challenging me, and the way the Lord spoke to me is the meaning of his name and the introduction of who he is. See, the name John means a gift from God. It means God's grace. It signifies grace. And as I was studying this passage, the Lord showed me several things about John the Baptist that shows that he truly was a man sent from God. I mean, he truly was a gift from God to this lost and this dying world. I've got right here in my introduction, God give us more men and women like John the Baptist. It is my desire through this message that all here, especially men. Now, ladies, don't tune me out because it says a man sent from God. That's obviously an application to all men. But everybody can get an application, but especially men. May we be determined to leave this service to be a man like John. That this world can look at it and the Lord would look at us and say, I'm going to tell you who that man is. That man is a gift from God. That woman is a gift from God. We are sent from God. Hope you understand where I'm going with this. A man sent from God who is truly a gift from God. I mean, a blessing from God to this world. Let me give you three things about him. Number one, a man sent from God. First of all, we see his mission. We see this in verses 7 and 8. Now notice this. The same, talking about the man whose name is John, the man sent from God. Notice this. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We see his mission here. A man sent from God has a mission. And may I say this to you, in a world where people are searching for meaning, there's a lot of people searching for meaning. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Why did God let me live? In a world where people are searching for a reason to live, a man sent from God who is a gift from God to this world already has his meaning and already has his reason to live. John the Baptist didn't have to go searching for the reason he was on planet Earth. He was given his mission by Almighty God, and his mission was to bear witness of the light, that all men might believe in him. It's been said that the words bear witness here carries and reflects courtroom language of the Old Testament, where truth was established on the basis of multiple witnesses. Get this, John's mission in life was to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That right here, that they may be saved from eternal judgment. Now, one man put it well, as a bird dog points to a covey of birds so that the hunter will know where they are, so the preacher is to be a pointer pointing men to Jesus. As another man said, a good illustration in nature of the mission of a man sent from God is the relation of the moon to the sun in the light that each sheds on the earth. See, the moon is a dead world in space, a massive chunk of lifeless rock. It is not a spark of fire, not a glimmer of light of its own. The work of the moon is to simply be a giant reflector in the sky, to pick up the light of the sun and relay that light to the earth. The moon is not the light. It is poised in space to bear witness to the light. This was the mission of this man sent from God. He was simply sent to bear witness of the light of Jesus Christ. He was simply to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. He was to point people to Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you. A man or a woman who is sent from God, who is truly a gift from God to this world, has the same mission in life. I'm telling you, it is to bear witness of Jesus Christ that the world may be saved. It was John's business to prepare the way for his first coming. It is our business to prepare others for his second coming. Our mission is not our own. Our mission is to tell others of Jesus Christ. Let us be a gift from God and tell others about Jesus. You may tell you who a gift from God is? Somebody who tells you who Jesus is. That's a man who's sent from God. That's a woman who's sent from God. Somebody who bears witness of the light. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach means make disciples. And by the way, that word go means as you're going. As you're going, make disciples. As you're going, make disciples. As you're going, make disciples. Here's the emphasis. It's good to have a set time to go soul winning. It's good to have a Thursday night or a Saturday morning. We do the Saturday morning here. But let me say this to you. It is God's will not just to have once a month or once a week, but as His children are going, as we're going to the grocery store, as we're going to Walmart, as we're going there and going there, we are to constantly be looking to make disciples for Jesus Christ. It is to be a lifestyle, not just a scheduled event. And I tell you that what John came to this world to do is what every man or woman sent from God does. He simply bears witness to Jesus Christ. That's his mission. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. A man who is a gift from God fulfills his God-given mission of telling others of Jesus Christ. By the way, John did this. Look at verse number 15. John bare witness of him. I like that. If you don't get anything else out of this message, take that statement home with you. John bare witness of him. That's the reason he came. That's the mission he had. And he fulfilled it. Let me ask you a question. Are you fulfilling that same mission? By your witness, would God pin down about you, there is a man sent from God whose name is? Would God write down, there is a lady sent from God whose name is? Number one is mission. Number two is message. We see this in verses 15 to 18, 29 through 34. I'm going to be reading some of this as we go. But in these verses, we see this man named John speaking and giving witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his message, it does not take long to find the key center. The key center is the main thought, the main idea. His main thought is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he's all he talked about in this message. He's the only one he talked about here. Throughout his message, this man sent from God praised the Lord Jesus Christ and simply pointed others to him as the one and only way of salvation. Let me summarize this message for you, okay? See if you see a theme. First of all, this is letter A under this message, letter A. Christ is preeminent and preexistent. We see this in verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me. Now he's talking about birth, being born into the world. See, John was about 6 months older than Jesus Christ as far as the physical birth. He was born before the Lord, you see, into this world. But notice his language. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. What's he saying? What is John saying here? John witnessed to these people by sharing with them how even though the Lord Jesus Christ was born after him, he was preferred before him. You know what that word preferred means? It means he is superior to me. I cannot attain to him. He's so much bigger than I am. He's preeminent. Then he said, let me tell you why he's preferred before me. It's because he was before me. What's he saying? Is it not obvious what he's saying? He's saying that even though his physical birth came after him, he did not start in Bethlehem. He is the eternal Lamb of God that's been slain from the foundation of the world. He's saying, first of all, here's my message. My mission is I'm simply to bear witness of Christ. Here's how he did it. He is preeminent. He is superior. He's the one and only. And he never had a beginning. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 1:17, he is before all things. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am, is what he said. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. So we see, first of all, his message said Christ is preeminent and preexistent. Number two, he said, and in his message he preached that Christ is all we need. We see this in verse 16. Notice the language. And of his, Jesus' fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Boy, I read that and I'm like, what's that mean? Man, this is exciting what I'm getting ready to bring out right here. What is John saying? Of his fullness, we've all received. And grace for grace. Here it is. According to my study, the words grace for grace means grace heaped upon grace, 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 heaped upon grace. Now what's he saying? Glory, friends. He's saying this. His fullness. He has all the grace that's ever existed. He has grace and more grace, grace and more grace, grace and more grace. By the way, we've all partook of that. Because the very air you're breathing is God's grace giving it to you. He's saying we've all partook of it. Here's what he's saying. This one I've come to bear witness of, we don't need anything more than him. He's all we need. This is what he's preaching. Grace for grace. John R. Rice put it this way, oh, that we might enter into the riches of verse 16. Every heartbeat, every breath of air, every peaceful moment, all the provisions of nature are from the fullness of Christ and from his grace. Oh, grace for grace, exclamation point. John R. Rice put it down pretty well right there. I'm telling you that what he's teaching here is that he is all we need. And no matter what you're going through, if it's salvation, he's got, listen to me, he's got salvation grace. If you're dying, he's got dying grace. If it's tribulation, he's got tribulation grace. He's grace for grace. That's who he is. Who's Jesus? He's the grace of God. That's who he is. He's God's grace, number three. So he preaches, first of all, in his message. His mission is point people to Christ. His message is, here's how he did it, Christ is preeminent. He's above me. Christ is preexistent. He is eternal God. Christ is all you need. Doesn't stop. He keeps going. Verse 17, Christ is grace and truth. We see this in verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John testifies how the law, God's standard of perfection, was given by Moses. And if God would have left it right there, we are all going to burn in hell. Did you hear what I said? Because there's nobody that has ever attained to the perfect standard of God's law. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying the Lord Jesus is God's love gift to this world to fulfill what condemns you. Law came by Moses, but God sent the light so you might be saved. Romans 3, 20 to 26 says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, for the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Here's what he's saying. His message is saying, it's only by grace and it's only by truth that you can be saved. And John says you find them both in Jesus Christ. May I say this to you? We're about halfway through a little over halfway through his message here, he's doing a pretty good job of shedding light on Jesus Christ. Let me tell you who he is. He is preeminent. He's above it all. He is preexistent. He is God. He did not begin in Bethlehem. He is grace for grace. He's all you need. By the way, what the law could not do, grace and truth came through Jesus and he fulfilled it for you. He doesn't stop. He goes on. Let him go on. Glory. He goes on in verse number 18. Notice what he says here. Christ declared God. Look at verse number 18. No man has seen God at any time. That's because God is spirit, friends. The word of God says no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. By the way, you wanna see intimacy? That's it right there. Where's Christ? In the bosom of the Father. According to my study, that means that's how close they are. That's the intimate relationship that they have. Unbroken fellowship, communion. The Son of God who's in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So he says, witness number four here, his message, Christ is the declaration of God. Now, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, I'm not preaching from one, but I use one for my devotional reading. If you'll look at the note at the bottom of the page, he put it well. He said, God in his own triune person. No human being in the flesh is seen, but God especially as incarnate in Jesus Christ has been seen of men. You know what the word declared means? It means Christ interpreted God. Christ is the exegesis of God. Now, that word exegesis is what I try to do when I preach, okay? You exegete Scripture. You read it, but then you start digging into it and you start the exegesis of it. You start the explanation of it. You start declaring it. You start showing what all's in it. You see what I'm saying? So what John is saying is if you want to know who God is, if you want to see who God is, who you cannot see, I'm talking about with your fleshly eyes, you cannot see God the Spirit, but if you want to know who he is, and you want to see him revealed, his name is Jesus. That's what John's saying. John is saying that Jesus declared God. He declared him. Jesus explains in detail who God is to this lost and dying. He is God incarnate, friends. What John is saying is that the unseen Spirit, the invisible God, robed himself in flesh so you and I could lay our eyes on him. Don't ever belittle Jesus Christ. He's God in flesh, friends. The Word of God teaches this clearly. The Life Application Study Bible puts it this way: in Christ, God revealed his nature and essence in a way that could be seen and touched. Doesn't that touch your heart? Doesn't that bless your heart? That God who is unseen, invisible, immortal, I'm talking about the only wise God, the everlasting Father, he knows in our human eyes we could never see him. So he became a man and walked upon earth because he wanted the world to see him for who he is. He's the only one that could do this. Now, John says all of this in his message. Christ is preeminent. He's above all. He's preexistent. He was before me. Even though he was born into this world after me, he was before me. He's eternal God. He's saying right here in his message that he's grace for grace. He's all you need. You don't need anything more than Christ. He's saying right here that Christ comes beside the law. The law is God's standard, so Jesus Christ, who is grace and truth, came. And he's going to fulfill this law so that by the grace and truth of God, there's a way of salvation. He goes on to say that Christ declared God, that when you look at Jesus Christ, he is God come in flesh. He is God robed in flesh so that the eyes can see Him, the hands could touch Him. John, the apostle who wrote this book, you will find right before the crucifixion at the Last Supper that John has laid his head over onto the bosom of Jesus Christ. John was laying his head on the bosom of God. And he could feel Him right there. You can't touch God. You can't see God. But John the Baptist, a man sent from God, said, "He who you cannot touch and you cannot see has made Himself visible and has made Himself touchable." That's powerful, friends. Doesn't stop. He has a final message. Christ is preeminent, preexistent. Christ is all you need. Christ is grace and truth. Christ declared God. You get the key center? Then he does this. Look at verse number 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So the final part of his message here is that he brings out that Christ is the Lamb of God. He's the declaration of God. He's the talking out of God. He's the exegesis of God. But he also came not to show himself to the world. He came to offer himself as a sacrifice. The next day, John saw the Lord coming unto him. And he immediately pointed to him and said, "Look at the Lamb of God." According to my study, as John spoke, it's very likely that the bleating of sheep could be heard and that people could see flocks being driven toward Jerusalem in preparation for the Passover feast. Just the timing of all of this, when it took place, it's very possible that the bleating of sheep was heard in the background. Sheep that was being taken to be killed as a Passover lamb to commemorate them being delivered from Egypt and bondage. And as all those sheep are being taken and the people's minds were thinking more than likely about the Passover feast, John saw Jesus. And he said, "Behold, there's the Lamb of God." I'm telling you, one man put it this way. It meant that Christ was the great sacrifice for sin. When he made this statement, he's saying, "There's the great sacrifice for sin. There's the one who's come to make atonement for transgression by his death upon the cross." See, they knew a lamb was going to be slain. Blood was going to be shed. He's prophesying. He's saying, "There he is. There's the one who's going to shed his blood. There's the one who's going to die. There's the one who's going to atone for our sin. There's the lamb which Isaac was told by Abraham at Mount Moriah that God would provide. He's the lamb to which every morning and evening sacrifice in the temple daily pointed. He's the lamb of which Isaiah had prophesied that he would be brought to the slaughter. He's the lamb of which the Passover lamb in Egypt had been a vivid type." In short, John pointed to him and said, "There is the propitiation for our sin, which God had covenanted from all eternity to send into the world. He was God's lamb." In short, John's message magnified the Lord Jesus Christ as the final sacrifice for sin. And notice what he said in verse number 29. He said in verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Friends, when it says the world, it means the world. Amen. And what that means is this: his death is sufficient to save every man, woman, boy, and girl on planet Earth. See, he died as an atonement for sin. His death is the atonement for sin. Singular. He is the death of sin. He is the atonement for sin. And he's opened the door for whosoever will may come. And if you step in by faith, you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God draws you and you're convicted and you say yes to Jesus, you step in by faith and the atoning work of Christ is sufficient to forgive your sin. John is saying, this is him. This is him. Boy, I like how one man put it. Listen to this. It may take you a little bit to grab this, but listen to this. He had to come as he came in order to be what he was. Talking about a human being. He had to be what he was, a human, in order to do what he did. That's die. He had to do what he did so that we might have what he has. We have to have what he has in order to be what he was. Amen. That means God had to do what he did to become what he was. That's a human being. He had to become what he was to do what he did. That's die, because God can't die as spirit. He had to do what he did so we might have what he has. And we have to have what he has in order to be what he was. Amen. That's pretty well put right there. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb slain without blemish, without spot. Revelation 5, 12 and 13, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. John left no doubt with his hearers that Jesus Christ, when he said, behold, the Lamb of God, he left no doubt that Jesus Christ is the one and only way of salvation. Any man who has a message like this, any man who has a mission like he has, tell others about Christ and does it, that's a man sent from God, friends. Any man who has a message like this, Christ is preeminent. He's above it all. He's preexistent. He didn't start in Bethlehem. He's God. He's all you need. He has grace for grace. He's grace and truth putting side by side with the law of God. And without that, there's no way of heaven. He declared God. He showed the word. I'm talking about the world God. God robed himself in flesh so he could be seen and be touched. He's the Lamb of God. He's the only one to heaven. May I say this to you? Anybody has a message like that is a man or woman sent from God, friends. They're a gift from God. Number one, his mission. Number two, his message. We close with his modesty. That's a word that simply means his humility. The word modest means humble. And we see this in verse 19. Now I'm going to read this, make these statements, we're just about through. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias or Elijah? He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Talking about the prophet that Moses was prophesying back in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, and he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who are you? Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself? Notice this now. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. They which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Notice verse 27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. Now I'm going to tell you what I see here. I see a man sent from God who is very modest and humble. The ministry of John the Baptist was having a tremendous impact. The Jews sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, and he let them know immediately, I'm not Christ. Then they asked him, are you Elijah? Now, may I say this? That was a highly tremendous honor for them to even ask him that. See, they knew that in the Old Testament, Elijah's prophesied to come back before the revelation of Jesus Christ. They thought with his preaching, this tells you a little bit about him, okay? Are you Elijah? What an honor to be asked that. To which he said, no. They then asked him, are you the prophet that in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 18, 15, to which Moses prophesied? He said, no, I'm not. Finally, they said, who are you? What sayest thou of thyself? Tell us who you are. Tell us something about you. John might have answered, and by the way, he could have answered truthfully with this. I'm the son of Zechariah the priest. I'm the one that's been filled with the Holy Spirit from my birth. And said it truthfully. Or he could have said, I'm the most remarkable character ever raised up by God and sent unto Israel. That's what Jesus said. He could have said that. But instead of saying those things, here is humility. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. This was a prophecy concerning him in Isaiah 40, verse 3. And notice this, friends. A voice is not heard, it's not seen, it's simply heard. You don't see a voice, you only hear it. He wanted those there that day to know that who he was not what was important, but who Christ is. He made much of Christ and little of self. He went on to say the Lord is preferred before him. And he said, let me tell you a little bit about him. I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose the latchet on his shoes. By the way, this was known as the lowest and humblest thing a slave could do for his master. The lowest and humblest thing a slave could do was stoop down when his master got home and unloose the latchet on his shoes. A slave, that was his job, that was his duty. Here's what John said, I'm not even worthy to do that to Jesus. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm not even worthy to be a slave. This was John's way of making much of the Lord. Matthew 11:11 says this. Here's what Jesus said again about John the Baptist. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And yet, if such a great person felt inadequate, even to be Christ's slave, how much more should we lay aside our pride to serve Christ? Every day, Christ should grow bigger in our hearts, and we should grow smaller. We ought to pray that people will see not us, but see him. This was John. He's saying, let me tell you who I am. Get your eyes off of me. I'm a nobody. I'm just a voice. That's all I am. That's what he said. Just hear what I'm saying. Don't look at me. Hear what I'm saying. I'm just a voice. Let me point you to one over here that I'm not even worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoes. I found this story here that when Da Vinci finished painting his picture, The Last Supper, it says he invited another artist to look at the picture, and the artist said, what a beautiful cup in the hand of Christ. Da Vinci quickly grasped a brush and painted the cup out, saying, I don't want anything in this picture to detract from the face of Jesus. God help us to have the spirit of John the Baptist so that nothing in our lives may detract from the glory of Christ. God give us men. God give us women like John the Baptist who makes much of Christ and little of self. May we see ourselves simply as a voice to be heard, not seen, pointing others to Christ. The Lord really spoke to my heart how John lived up to his name. John, what's your name mean? My name means a gift from God. And the Holy Spirit of God wrote it down, had it written down. He inspired it through John. Write this down about John. He was sent from God. He is a gift from God. He proved to be true to his name by being a man with a mission to tell others of Christ, and he did it. A man with a message of uplifting Christ and Christ alone, and a man with a modesty to make Christ everything and he nothing. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus Christ mean so much to you? And has he proven himself to be so big in your life that you would say the same as John the Baptist and truly mean it? I'm not even worthy to stoop down and simply unloose the strap on his sandal. You know what people today think? Let me give you the privilege of taking my shoes off my feet. Look who I am. Do you realize preachers can even get that way? God help me not to get that way. God help me to be a man, a husband, a pastor, a father who simply says, I am only a voice. And I'm not even worthy to be his slave. Can I bow on my knees and say, God, make me a man like that. God, make me a man like John the Baptist with a mission of telling people of Christ, a message about Christ, Christ, and more Christ, and a message of saying, get your eyes off of me. I'm just a voice. I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose him. It's all about him. It's all about him. I'm the moon. I'm dead. I don't have light. He's the light, and he's given it to me, and I'm simply giving it to you now. God, give us men and women like that. Can you put your name in John chapter 1, and would the Holy Spirit of God inspire the same words about you that he did him? There was a man sent from God whose name was Amen, friends. That's how God spoke to me. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today, and I pray that you'll help us. Help us, Lord, truly to be men and women sent from God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. And while they're preparing, let me begin the invitation by asking you, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Here's what this pastor's saying, behold the Lamb of God. This church can't save you. The baptistry can't save you. Your good works can't save you. The law of God, it's not going to save you because you've broken it. But Jesus Christ, who is grace and truth and preeminent and preexistent, who is all we need and the declaration of God, he's also the Lamb of God, and he died in your place. Have you trusted him? Do you know him as your Savior? Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I don't know him as my Savior. But I know this. I don't want to die without him. May I say this to you? If you die without Christ, you are lost for eternity. And I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. But if you today say, Jody, pray for me, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm saved. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. Yes, thank you. You can put your hand down. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I need to be sure. I want to know for sure that heaven's my home. Anybody else along with this one, would you put it up? Put it right back down. If you raise your hand, God bless you. Thank you. If you raised your hand to that question, I want you to listen to me closely. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. It's what it sounds like. It's simply inviting you to something. Here's what we're inviting you to. We're not inviting you to join this church. We're not inviting you to be baptized. We're inviting you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have personal workers here, a man with a man, a lady with a lady. They'll be happy to take a Bible and help you understand the gospel. And today could be the greatest day in your life. Don't be crazy and leave this auditorium not knowing for sure. Get it right today. Have you today say, Jody, I'm a man. You talk to the men first. I'm a man. God's speaking to me. I want to be a man like John the Baptist. Now, you're not just saying this, you mean it. And you feel like God is speaking to you and encouraging you in this way. It could be that you're already doing it, but you just want to recommit yourself. Say, God, help me be a man truly sent from God. A gift to this world. One with your mission, not my own. One with a message about you, not me. And one who points to you, not myself. Have you men say, God is speaking to you in that way. And you say, I want to be a man like John the Baptist. Would you be honest? A man like that, would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Men, put your hands up in the air. If God is speaking to you about this, God bless you. Let me encourage you to come first when I give the invitation, because by you moving, it helps unsaved people move. You come. Have you ladies are here saying, I know you're talking about a man, John the Baptist, but God's speaking to me about being a lady just like that. A lady who has God's mission, a lady who preaches God's message. I'm talking about with giving gospel tracts out and telling others about Christ, and he is your message. And you say, a lady that doesn't make much of self but makes much of him. I want to be a lady like John the Baptist. Have you ladies, God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you raise your hand, you can lower it, but I want you to respond. You don't have to come to the altar to respond, but if God wants you to come to the altar, you need to do that. I want to be a man like that. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you need Jesus as your Savior, you come. You want to be a man or woman like John the Baptist, you come. As Brother Gary sings, come now. Would you do that, please? Please. He said, I want to know for sure I'm saved. I want to know for sure I'm a Christian. There's time for you if you need to be saved. If you want to know the Lord, you come. You come. There's time for you. Come on. Come talk to the Lord.
Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Keep singing, Brother Gary.
Have thine own way.
Softly, folks are praying. You can look this way. We're just about through here. This is Caitlin Riley, a teenager, came on bus number 7. And I understand that Caitlin trust that Jesus Christ is our Savior in Sunday school. Is this true? That's outstanding. Have you happy for her? Say a big amen. Don't you realize coming in here and seeing my face and then you all behind her and all that, she's got to be scared a little bit. But you're among friends. We're glad you're here. So you trusted the Lord as your Savior. Is that true? That's outstanding. By the way, that's one of the outreaches of Sunday school. We give God the glory for that. We're proud of you, young lady. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You stay in here with us. We'll help you, okay? We'll teach you about the Lord and the Word of God. There's so much more to learn. I'm still learning. We're all still learning. God has a great, great will for your life. He wants to use you in a great way. Praise the Lord for it. This is Marcia Nidifer. If she'll stand, Miss Charlotte will stand with her. Been coming for a while here and came by to meet with me. And she believes that this is the will of God to her, for her to join this church by letter of, is it Dungan Chapel? Is that right? At Dungan Chapel Baptist. We've met with her. She knows the Lord as her Savior. She's been scripturally baptized, immersed in a church of like faith. And she believes this is the will of God for her life. And we are thrilled to have you with us. Could I get the pleasure of the church that we accept her upon her? It's by letter. Understanding all this, Brother Steve, could I get a second? Brother Scott, all in favor who are members, say aye and raise your hand high. So any opposed, same sign. So carry, it's official. We've got all of your information. I'm just kidding with you, all right? Help us reach people. Help this church fulfill our purpose, our mission. And our mission is the same as John the Baptist. We're going to bear witness of the light. And help us do that. We're so thrilled you're here. We want to ask you to stay there. We've got a gift bag for you. Hope many of you ladies will come by and welcome her to the membership of the church. This is thrilling. Praise the Lord. Be back tonight. Brother Bob wants me to announce to all teenagers that the Truth Program begins tonight at 5:30. All teenagers, you're invited downstairs. 5:30 tonight. We'll also be registering again for Cadets for Christ for the children. You'll be back tonight. That'll be good. All right? Good to have Pastor Harris. God bless you, sir, again for being here. I appreciate that. And I'm going to ask Brother Danny Jenkins, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer. Thank you.